I guess all of you have had that experience of organizing the big feast, whether that's a family member's wedding or some other official function. And getting that seating plan right can be really, really tricky. You know, will Aunt Bessie really want to be sitting next to Uncle Fred? And, or, you know, as a priest, you're often kind of invited to sit at the maiden aunt's table. And it seems that they're the ones who have the biggest problems with the church. And they just regale you all through the dinner about all of the problems of the church and all of the reasons that they left it 30 years ago and all those kinds of things. So working out the seating plans is a crucial part of that experience. And so Jesus isn't just giving us this practical advice tonight about who not to sit to, next to whom, but is inviting us into this deep reflection on what the kingdom of God is really all about. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus seems to always be at the table, either on his way to a feast, enjoying a feast, or going to the next one along the path. He is wanting us to understand that it's at the table of the Lord that that's where we find our identity. But it can't be a table that is corrupted by division and rejection. The table has to be all-inclusive. It has to be part of this radical reversal that is so much at the heart of the Gospel of Luke. You know, Luke is wanting us to see into the heart of Jesus, that he's about this radical revision, this radical overturning of all of the systems that we put in place that exclude, that alienate, that separate. He's wanting us to understand that this kingdom is radical. This kingdom is going to make all of us feel uncomfortable. This kingdom is not doing its work if we are just able to sit on our laurels and think, yes, you know, I've done enough to be part of this new kingdom reality. The kingdom is always challenging, always radical, always inviting us into a deeper reflection of what we can be, who we can be, and who we can include in this. It's a call for us to experience this radical new life of God's grace, of God's kindness, of God's mercy. He's always inviting, always wanting us to break down those barriers that have separated and kept things alienated and too clumsy, too carefully kind of communal in a way that is just cliquish. It isn't actually this sense of this kingdom that breaks down all of those divisions, all of those barriers. Do you know at the beginning that he's at the house of one of the leading Pharisees, and when Luke tells us they're watching him closely? There's a few verses that are missing that has a story about a person that needs to be healed, and it's a Sabbath day, and Jesus, of course, he knows that the purpose of the Sabbath isn't to restrict the kindness of God, isn't to restrict the love of God. And so he provides a healing that is there. And of course, the Pharisees grumble and complain that he's breaking one of their rules and not able to understand. And then he says, when he notices that they're trying to choose the places of honor. So both of them are watching each other closely throughout this exchange. And I think that's an appropriate reflection for us, that yes, knowing that God is watching us closely, not in the sense of the schoolmaster wanting to catch us out, wanting to find cause for a punishment, but he loves us so much that, of course, he's looking at us closely. Of course, he's observing what we are doing. He's wanting to see those works of love, those little things that we do that begin to break down those divisions, that begin to include those people. And he's inviting us today to do just that. In those days, you know, the lounge, people weren't sitting at tables so much as a low kind of table that was usually U-shaped. The host would be the center of the U, and everyone else would be kind of arrayed out as they're leaning down so that they're able to eat with one hand and to lean with the other hand. And this sense of intimacy that is there in that kind of arrangement. But it's also an intimacy that we're able to see who's not there. And that's why Jesus is inviting us to include those people that are often excluded quite specifically. For example, in the book of Leviticus, the people that are poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, they're all restricted from being able to be priests, for example. And we also, you know, continue to make those divisions and exclude certain people from our communities. Maybe not consciously, maybe not specifically, but there are people that we know that don't feel that they are welcome among us. People that just feel that their choices that they've made that kind of restrict their inclusion, that restrict their ability to be part of this community. And it's all of those that this Sunday invites us to reflect upon. Are we being a people that radically invite people into union in the life of God? It doesn't mean that we don't challenge people and don't say, look, the choices that you're making aren't healthy. They're not giving you the life. They're not allowing you to experience the fullness of God's love. Yes, you know, we need to offer people that sense of the freedom that we're able to find by living a life dedicated and to be in union with God. But too often people just don't feel welcome to even make that initial step. So this Sunday invites us to that reflection too about the way that this community has grown over the last 200 years, the ways that we have included and unfortunately excluded people along the way. Those people that during this Social Justice Sunday, this sense of people who have been excluded through domestic violence, people that have, you know, experienced such hardship, such horrors in a place that should have been about love, that should have been about welcome and should have been about acceptance. But too often people have found that the place of their house, the place of their home, that should have been a place of safety, a place of protection, has become a place of violence and hatred and abuse. And what we can do as a church that says no, that is not acceptable. It can never be something that we accept within a church community, that we say no to all of those instances. As we continue to ponder, how can we be a community that welcomes? How can we be a place that allows others that feel excluded, that feel unwelcome, to be also included, to find a place at the table of the Lord? Let's continue to experience that call of God, who's inviting us into that celestial life, that life of the new kingdom of God that we read about in our second reading today from the letter to the Hebrews. This sense of that we're gathered around the table of the Lord at the Eucharist, gathered by the tens of thousands, the millions of angels who are also there in the worship of God, in calling us, inviting us into this place of freedom and life. Let's indeed be people that celebrate and rejoice that we've been called, that we've been invited, and allow God to bring us more closely into union with Him.